With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This segment on The Fan brought to you by Tally's Tap and Eatery, serving up their famous Friday fish fry with specials on domestic and craft beer pitchers, plus live music from J.J. Eckel. Starting up tonight, 8:30, Tally's Tap and Eatery, Sunset Drive in Waukesha.
Sad news in the music world. Did you hear this? Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush for all those years, from somebody that played drums, the best drummer of my lifetime by far, has passed away. So sad news there. It's all over social media and Twitter. Were you a big Rush guy? Did you ever listen to Rush?
Huge, huge Rush guy.
Are you being sarcastic? Or are you being serious?
Yes. When was Rush big?
They're still big.
When I was like not even an idea.
Oh.
Yeah, I like Rush.
Did you?
Yeah.
We're trying to talk my dad into going to the jewelry center like you guys are always trying to talk me into going to the jewelry center.
Yeah, I like Rush.
Rush is heating up. I don't know. Maybe Curtis Crabtree from Sports Radio KJR is a big Rush guy. KJR in Seattle. It is Curtis Crabtree joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We're the Wendy's Big Show from 105.7 FM, The Fan, live from Stenny's. Curtis, appreciate the time this week.
Yeah, no problem, guys. How's it going?
Doing good, Curtis, and we're trying to figure this thing out as we're getting ready for this huge game, Packers and Seahawks. We're just asking a question, which quarterback needs to have the bigger game to win, and the idea here is that it's got to be Russell Wilson, but for you, which quarterback do you think needs this win more for their legacy going forward?
It's tough to say about legacies or anything like that. For legacy purposes, probably Aaron Rodgers, because of the fact that he's, you know, actually lost two of the five games that he's played in the playoffs at Lambeau Field already, and that as great a quarterback as he is, he only has the one Super Bowl to his name at this point in time. But, I mean, I think we're splitting hairs. I mean, it could do wonders for both of their legacies at this point. Who needs it more? I think it's tough to say. It's probably always yields to the team that needs to hold serve to win at home, I would think, would probably end up being the one that it would skew to, all things considered.
What's the sentiment out in Seattle on the idea of Marshawn Lynch? I personally don't think that it's a recipe for success, but it appears that more and more people believe Beast Mode's going to be getting a bigger carry load this week.
Well, it's not as though like they ideally would be playing Marshawn Lynch right now. They would still have Chris Carson and Rashad Penny and be good to go, but that's not the circumstance they find themselves in. And when you're 2 weeks out from the start of the playoffs and you find yourself completely wiped out at the running back spot, there's only so many options out there that even make sense to even try, let alone have any significant talent to provide a boost for you at this point. So Marshawn is by far the best option that they could have turned to. Just how much he still has in the tank, I think we're still trying to figure that out. I think he, for the most part, looks like you'd expect him to look. Their running game wasn't good last week in Philadelphia, but that was for a number of reasons. The fact that they had three backup offensive linemen starting from center over to left tackle, and the fact that the Eagles were run blitzing them a lot, and the way that they were playing their front up front, in addition to some issues with the line and just how they played it. So I think Marshawn is the right fit for them in this current moment. I think he can still give them a little bit of a boost for sure. He's still going to run as hard as he can absolutely run. That's not going to change for what he brings to the table. But certainly just the injuries that they've had there have stacked up, and they've kind of across the team, they've kind of been hit with injuries really the last half of the year. That's kind of put them with their backs up against it a little bit here, to where they're not capable of reaching probably the same ceiling that they were at midseason from a talent standpoint.
Curtis, where do the Seahawks see an advantage for themselves over the Packers that they can exploit, take advantage of, and win this football game?
Probably just the simple fact that they're going to trust Russell Wilson against anybody out there, that when things break down, even if the Packers are able to pressure him, he's able to find his way to get out and make some plays. And, you know, at least their top two wide receivers and Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf provide really strong options for him downfield. They both have a sense for how Wilson scrambles and what to do in those situations when a play breaks down. As I'm sure, you know, the Packers receivers have come to learn with Aaron Rodgers how to do that as well, to find space and adjust their routes and all of those sorts of things. But Russell Wilson's going to need to be peak Russell Wilson for Seattle to continue pushing through the playoffs, just because of the talent drain they've had through injuries and such at this point in time. So he's the one area where they're going to need to have him carry the mail and be at his peak form. That being said, I don't know if there's a team in the NFL he's played worse against consistently than the Packers. They've tended to have his number, with two of his worst games from a turnover standpoint coming against them. 5 interceptions there a few years ago, 4 interceptions in the NFC Championship game when they beat the crap out of him for 55 minutes of that contest. So it's a tough environment for Russell to go play that to that level, but he was there a week ago in Philadelphia, and they'll need it again.
Well, most folks want to know about Marshawn Lynch. Can Marshawn Lynch come in here and put 70, 80 yards on the Green Bay Packers? Is he physically ready to do that? Because I think a lot of people are afraid of maybe their run game. Before the injuries took place, I think the Seahawks were maybe top 5 in rushing offense. I mean, kind of falling off since the injuries, but can they get back doing that?
I think they can provide a nice complement, if depending on how the Packers try to play Seattle up front. The Eagles seem to really try to make sure that the running game was nothing, and that they could then tried to handle the receivers downfield, and Russell Wilson made him pay. He got out on a couple scrambles that hurt the Eagles, and that sort of stuff that really kind of benefited Seattle at the end of the day. And obviously they were pretty beat up a week ago too. Whether Marshawn can be a 70, 80 yard guy, it's tough to say. I know Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer this week said that they want to get Marshawn more involved, that now he's had a chance to pick up the whole offense again and is ready to kind of let it rip. But they'll use Travis Homer some as well. He's the one who's actually been here all year and has a better sense of what they want to do collectively as a whole than Marshawn still does at this point. And it's really depending on how Green Bay wants to try to attack Seattle, where they're going to go with it. If they want to try to really flood the box and put the game in Russell's hands and force him to beat him, well, then they're going to have to probably try to throw it a little bit more. And if they say they're going to, you know, sag out and not bring some of the blitz stuff that Mike Pettine can do from time to time, and really try to sit back in coverage and force Seattle's receivers to beat him, well, then maybe the running lanes are there a little bit more so. But I'm not expecting Marshawn to have 20 plus carries and 130 yards or anything like that, but that doesn't mean he still can't be effective enough for them to win a football game when they need him to.
Seahawks reporter for Sports Radio KJR in Seattle, Curtis Crabtree, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you want to follow him on Twitter, give him one at Curtis_Crabtree. Curtis, what has the development been like for DK Metcalf to be able to see that up close and personal and then pay off with the big day that he had last week in the playoffs?
Yeah, they were excited about him from basically the moment he set foot in the building. They were giddy about getting him in the draft when they did, late in the second round back in the spring. And you haven't heard one sour word said about him the entire time. They rave about his work ethic, his ability to continue to put in extra after practice. He's one of the few guys, like, if there's a guy catching balls after practice, it's DK Metcalf. He's put in the work, and obviously you can see that he's a little bit more than just a straight line go ball receiver. He got knocked for that, obviously, with a bad 3-cone time at the combine, and it's kind of become a running joke to this point, just how that's kind of spoken to his agility. And while early in the year they certainly kept it, you know, sort of hemmed in with staying on the left side of the formation and running some very specific routes that kind of tailored to where he was familiar with from his past and all that, it's definitely grown now. You can see him running a more variable route tree, running crosses and drags and, you know, different stuff, lining up on the right side of the formation. So they've definitely opened up the game for him. And, you know, obviously they're late last week. They know that in a third down situation, Jim Schwartz is going to bring an all-out blitz against them. They get Metcalf on a one-on-one at best, maybe downfield, and throw the ball up for him to go get it to win a game on the road in the playoffs. So the trust factor has been there from day one with Russell Wilson. He's jumped on that right from the get-go. He's wanted to make Metcalf a guy he relies in big time, and that's certainly been the case for him all season. And you can see the type of game that he can have, like that one last week where he puts up the best receiving game in the playoffs anyone's ever had since the 1960s. So, yeah, it's been nothing but positive, really, for Metcalf. He's had some fumble issues, occasional drop, but in general it's been a smooth ride for him this season.
What's the overall feel in Seattle about this game? Nervous? They can come in and get a win? What's the consensus out there?
I think the biggest concern is just over the injuries and who they're actually going to have available for them on Sunday, and we're still waiting to figure that out completely because, you know, Dwayne Brown's still not practicing for them. Their backup tackle, the one who started the last couple games in place of Dwayne Brown, George Fant, has not practiced yet this week. Mike Iupati, their starting left guard, has been dealing with stinger issues the last couple weeks. He hasn't been practicing either. So, you know, they're beat up on the left side of their offensive line. Jadeveon Clowney's continuing to deal through a core muscle sports hernia injury that's limiting him week in, week out. And so they're still a beat-up team, even with the guys that they're going to have. I think, in general, there's a sense that Seattle can come back there and win the game. But, you know, how confident are people in that? I don't think they're supremely confident in it, especially given the fact that Seattle hasn't won a game in Lambeau, I think, since 1999. This particular group is 0-4 back there, and there are a couple of trips that they've had to Lambeau through the years. So it's a tough place for anyone to win. Seattle has not been able to win there in a long time. And Seattle's beat up and all of that. But when you have Russell Wilson, you typically have a chance. And I think that's kind of the sense of where everything's at this point.
Curtis Crabtree joining us from Sports Radio KJR in Seattle. A couple more minutes here on the Wendy's Big Show live from Stenny's on 2nd and National, getting ready for Packers and Seahawks. Curtis, it's interesting you say that because here it's pretty much the same thing about going to Seattle, right? We feel as Packer fans that that's been a house of horrors. And you mentioned the 2014 title game where the Packers outplayed the Seahawks for 55 minutes and then couldn't get the win, and the Monday night game with the controversial Hail Mary victory. Is it the same sentiment for Seahawks fans coming in here to Lambeau? Because, I mean, you look at the other two playoff games that have been played here in 08, the Packers spot 14 early, and then 2004, the Matt Hasselbeck game, that one will live in infamy for a long time.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's necessarily considered a house of horrors per se, but it's obviously a place that Seattle fans in general just know it's very, very tough to get a win for this franchise. And so you haven't had the game finishes outside of the Hasselbeck game, as you mentioned, with the pick six from Al Harris, where, you know, you've had a close game pulled out from underneath you, those sorts of, like, just, you know, really bitingly terrible finishes to kind of really hang your hat on to feel bad about those particular results. But at the end of the day, it's a tough place for Seattle to win. And as we mentioned, they haven't done so in a long time. You know, as good as, you know, a defense like Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright have been a part of, and as long as they've been with this franchise, they've not won in that building. It is the first playoff game for this group back there, so they weren't here for the, obviously, the Alex Bannister, Al Harris interception, or the 14-point lead before the wheels fell off and the Packers ran to that victory as well, as you mentioned there in 2008. But this group has got their own issues with winning at Lambeau Field, and they got to face Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams and Za'Darius Smith. And, you know, there's guys back there that are terrific players and guys that they're going to have to try to contain. And, you know, some of those matchups, like Za'Darius Smith against George Fant or Dwayne Brown, whoever it is right now, is going to be an issue for Seattle to handle. Aaron Rodgers is always an issue. Aaron Jones has been fantastic all year. So they got their work cut out for him, no doubt.
Who on this Packers team are Seahawks fans looking at and saying, we need to stop that guy for us to get a win?
Well, because of the way it is with the Seahawks, how they always focus on the running game, I'm sure it's Aaron Jones first and foremost right now, because you can't let both guys, both Aarons, beat you. Like, you know, they got to try to make sure that it's only one of them that, you know, has a chance to produce. If both Aaron Jones is getting going in the running game and Aaron Rodgers is being able to beat him in the pass game, well, then they're going to find themselves in trouble rather quickly trying to slow down that offense. So they'll focus on stopping Aaron Jones. And
I think we lost him.
Come on back.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Come on back.
That's what happens with cell phones. It happens.
Darn it.
All right. Thanks, Curtis, for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Come on back.
105.7 FM, The Fan, Wendy's Big Show, live out here from Stenny's on 2nd and National.
There it is.
This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. 414-799-1250. Curtis Crabtree joined us on the Great Midwest
Space
Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.